The Night Shift across Australia on the Triple M radio network and around the world via the Listener app. Pat Panetta filling in for Luke Boner. Let's have a look in at the election now, only a few days to go, to ScoMo versus Albo, with a man who's got a crystal ball underneath his desk. He's going to give it a polish for us and tell us what he thinks about the next few days and the election. Author, journalist and broadcaster from Seven Sunrise and Sky News, Herald Sun columnist, and he has a new book out too called Cooper Not Out, and he joins us now on the night shift. It's Justin Smith. G'day, Justin.
The crystal ball, mate, I admire your enthusiasm. I really do.
I knew you'd like that.
I shall try to polish it. We'll see how we go. How are you, Paddy? Good to chat.
Yeah, going well. Same to you. No pressure. I say crystal ball, but what about sort of just projecting forward and thinking, okay, it's Sunday or Monday. Let's start with, do you think Scott Morrison can win? The polls are saying that Albanese is in front. There's still a few days to go. I guess anything can happen. Can the Libs pull off another win like they did in 2019?
Yeah, well, look, I think, first of all, the polls have been rubbish in the last few years. I mean, in Australia and with the Trump election, the polls were all heading in one direction. And then when the election came along, the people headed in the other direction. I would say this, Paddy, I think that what has changed in particularly in Australia, and this has changed over quite a few years now, we have presidential elections in Australia, right? So you vote for the prime minister, the top of the ticket.
Yep, yep.
You don't necessarily vote for your local candidate. I know that's how it works on paper, but I think we've become very presidential in Australia, where that's how we look at it.
Yep.
Now, with that in mind, I think that just to go back a few years, I think that's why Shorten lost, because Labor was doing well in the polls, but I think people got inside the booth and they sort of, I don't think they could really cop Shorten as their prime minister. Now, that could happen again. And my feeling during the campaign is that it will happen again, but I'm starting to change a little bit. About a week ago, I was feeling that it would probably be Morrison winning, but I'm starting to feel, and I've got nothing scientific to back this up, but I'm starting to feel that maybe Albanese could do it.
Yeah. Is it because Justin, he's looking a little more, as the campaign goes on, he is looking more like a leader? At the beginning, all those gaffes, he's sort of finding his rhythm now, because I feel the same way. I think,
I don't have anything scientific to back it up, because I don't think he is finding his rhythm. I think he's been crap. I think Albanese's has run one of the worst campaigns we've ever seen. I mean, it's just blunt. It's got no zip in it. It's got no real vision. And it had an appalling start in that first week. And I don't think he has recovered that much. He just hasn't managed to make as many stuff ups as he did in the first week. So, and look, I might point out, anyone who does know me, I have no political allegiance to any political party at all. I won't be voting for the major parties. I won't be voting at all, in fact. I think it has been a pretty dreary old kind of campaign. I think a lot of people are looking at this and they say, after all these years, particularly with the Labor Party, it's been 9 years they've been in opposition, and the best they can come up with it is Albanese.
Yes.
And I think people in the Liberal Party say, look, after all this time, the best we can come up with is Scott Morrison. And I think we've just got two leaders that even the staunchest of supporters for those parties are looking at them going,
That's a good point.
Really?
That's the best we can do. Is it because we get some callers into this program, Justin, that talk about these blokes who are career politicians, maybe not ScoMo as much as Albanese, but they're living in a bubble. That's all they've ever done, never worked in the private sector. And they talk in these sort of platitudes and cliches, like Albanese has a lot, I think.
Empty
phrases. And just saying yes to anything. Remember that the 5% rise on the base wage.
He
just sort of said yes to a question.
That's exactly right. Albo's I'm not going to call him Albo. I hate the O on the end of the name of those.
Mr. Albanese.
Albanese, for me, at the start of the campaign, was the only real vision he had was whatever you believe in, I'll believe it too.
That's right.
Whatever you say, I'll support that. And yes. That seemed to be the only hook he had to actually hang his hat on.
Yeah.
So my neighbour.
Which is easy to do when you're in opposition. I know he's running for the top job now. You could just say anything, couldn't you? Because you don't have to sort of follow it through.
to back it up. Well, and look, I think in a lot of ways, when you're in an election campaign, the Prime Minister is exactly the same.
So you mentioned your neighbour there. You had a story there, Justin.
Yeah, my neighbour, I spoke to him and he said he has not got a clue who he is going to vote for. You know, he's standing there just shrugging his shoulder. He's a smart guy,
yeah.
And he's a well-connected guy and a thoughtful person. And he's just going, I just don't, you know, there's nobody. And he said to me, you know, it was a great point. He said, we really would be fantastic if we found a way to stop career politicians from getting these jobs.
Yeah.
That a political party had to have a certain amount of people that had real life experience. Now, Albanese, Morrison's been part of the Liberal Party for a long time, and Albanese has just been one of those guys working his way through the Labor Party so he can try to get to the top. Yeah, I'm sick of these bloody people.
I reckon it's a massive worry. I mean, it gives you, if you've never run a business or been in the private sector or have experienced that, I reckon you're out of touch with the average person.
And it's not just that you're bang on, but it's not just that you're out of touch. It's that you are geared towards the political game, and your first thought is always, how's this going to play out with the party?
What's this
going to do for my standing in the party? And is this going to get me the next job? Will it get me in the cabinet, or will it get me to closer to the prime ministership? That's how they're constantly thinking. And I just love to see that. This is why the independents are doing so well. You know, you don't. And I'm not telling people to vote independent or suggesting. I'm sick of people telling us how to vote. But I think the independents have done so well because everyone is just absolutely jacked to the back teeth.
Yes.
Of these career these major parties. Politicians.
But if the independents get the balance of power, Justin, then you've got one or two people. Is this the drawback? You know, basically holding the government to ransom and they can't govern freely. So I'm a little concerned about the minority government or going, you know, for the independents.
But that's kind of, this is not an insult towards you, Pat. That's the line the major parties are pushing because they want to stay powerful political parties. They don't want the independents to get up there because they lose power. They don't do it because the country's going to be in worse shape. They do it because the political parties lose their power. I've got to say, I'm all for it. I would love to see No particular independent in mind, but I would love to see the major parties get that shake-up so they stop having, you know, sort of half-assed leaders getting into these roles.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, this is more opinion than anything else, so I hope that's okay, mate.
Of course. We're all opinion here, Justin, on the night shift. We'll leave it up to the newsroom to do the facts. We're here discussing things and bouncing things back and forth on the phones. You mentioned your neighbour's undecided. He and the 27% of voters who are in that undecided patch
are going to
call the shots on the weekend. Me included. I'm undecided. I'm genuinely not sure who I'm going to vote for. I sort of got a little bit of an idea. So the undecided voters are the ones that hold the future of the PM in their hands.
And I kind of like that. To be honest, I like that. Look, I'm in the seat of Kooyong. With Josh Frydenberg. Okay, now this has been much talked about. He's up against a very strong independent and Monique Ryan, and the polling looks very strong towards her. Today in the mail, I got a letter from John Howard, former Prime Minister, as a lot of people in this electorate would have done, talking to me about how terrific Josh Frydenberg is. Now, I've never received a letter like that before in election, and I'm happy to see it, because that shows that he is working harder to try and keep that seat. Now, this has been a very safe Liberal seat, but I love the fact that they've got to fight for it.
I don't care
who wins it at the end. I just love the fact that there is more of a fight that's on.
Yeah.
And we want to see that fight, I think, to see that fight spread out to who they pick as their leader, because we've got two duds.
We do too.
Two absolute duds. We really do.
Too.
I mean, if you were a major shareholder of a business and they were running that business for you, and look at the way that they have done it in the last you know, couple of years, you would feel very unhappy about it. But it's just the choice. You know, we just want some better choices around.
Yeah.
Same thing's happening in America. I mean, look, we had an election where either you pick Donald Trump or Hillary bloody Clinton. You know, I mean, they were the two choices. Like, my God.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I'd love to see us just get some better things to choose from, you know.
You mentioned John Howard. He's not very keen, obviously, of the Teal Independents. He referred to them as, I think, anti-liberal groupies the other day. And one of the Teal Independents, I think it was from Goldstein, can't think of her name now, said that it was gendered language and that he was sort of, you know, that language shouldn't be used in today's sort of democratic process. I didn't get what she was talking about, gendered
because it was groupies,
and it sort of made me think such a typical
I had to do
the
now.
Same. Yeah. That, I was exactly the same, Justin. I'm like, what does she mean? Or maybe it's groupies, but
I
he
think
did.
That's a bit,
yeah, and the yeah. longer quote was from John Howard: "These men and women are, you know, anti-liberal groupies," and it just made me think that some, you know, why are we in this default mode where we always point towards gendered and all that sort of stuff, which is just a distraction. Yep. You know, there's a ton of other things you could have said about it because there was nothing wrong with his statement. But anyway, it's on. It's on.
That's a strange thing to say. That frustrates me though that John Howard. I mean, look, I guess he's a dyed-in-the-wool liberal, so he's allowed to stick up for his party. But why is it anti-liberal? So if I vote for somebody, or if I have a particular thought, why is that anti anything?
Well, because the argument there is that these Teal Independents aren't revealing that they are in fact aligned with the Labor Party, and they are strategically trying to shoot down the Liberal Party, and they're not being transparent about it. And they, you know,
I think that's very, very much just a party line that could be trumped out by the Labor Party as well. I think just that. Like I say, it's the party machine on both sides. The party machine that's trying to protect itself. And I'd say don't get sucked in by it. Find the candidate you really like and vote for them, no matter who they're running for.
And cost of living, you reckon, is at the top of what people on people's minds. There's also the threat from, you know, defence from China and that sort of stuff.
Yep. These will be big things. These are very big things. The cost of living is enormous, but I also don't think you would need to be an economist of some high note to be able to sort out which party's going to do a better job after the election. Now, traditionally, the Liberal Party is seen as being able to do a better job with the economy than the Labor Party. So the high cost of living will probably actually be a more of a plus for Morrison going into the election, I would say. And the China thing certainly is as well, because the Liberals are seen to be stronger on defence. So those things are very helpful. You know, but I also think people are a bit jack of Morrison, and they might just want to try to send him a message by, you know, voting Albanese in. That can sort of happen as well.
Yes,
the protest votes are a very real thing.
Yes.
I don't know what's going to happen. I really don't know now. I don't know. The polling is strongly suggesting that Albanese is going to win it, but I think that the polling has been so wrong in the last few years that we are at the stage where it's just anybody's game.
Yes.
And it's one of those kind of, you know, you know, when you have that round of football where someone like a Rex Hunt would say, if you picked every winner, then you know nothing about football.
yeah.
And I think it's one of those kind of things. If you're able to pick this winner, then you're guessing.
Yeah, just a fluke.
Yeah.
The polling, is it right to say that people sort of lie to the pollsters? It's sort of cooler to sort of lean towards the left in a way. You know, if you publicly you want to say that you're a bit of a socialist and you care about people and you say that you're going to vote left, but you get in the booth when no one's looking and you vote for the Libs. Is that why the pollsters are getting it wrong?
It's a good point. It's a good point. There has been that discussion over the years. I still don't think they've got the polling right enough for it to take us seriously after the last few years. I still don't think we can take it seriously. I think that factor that you're talking about is very real. But also, but when's the last time you took a poll, Paddy. When's the last time somebody asked you?
Exactly right. Almost never. Is it one of those ones where they get the recorded message on the end of the phone? I hang up on those ones.
So let's get this straight. Perhaps the only people we're hearing from are the ones so desperate to have a conversation that they'll hang on the phone
and answer anything.
Speak to somebody.
Yeah,
so they're the only people that get polled in this country.
My Nan, poor Nan. She's at home.
Nan. People with better things to do will not get polled. You know, don't give the polling.
Yeah, that's right. I wonder, we'll have to investigate what the process is there. Mate, it's always a pleasure. Thanks for joining us on the night shift. I'd love to chat to you again at least one more time before we get to the election on Saturday.
And it'll be great, Pat.
You've got up early to look after us here. Now, before I let you go, tell me about this new book. I know it's getting rave reviews. You can purchase it at bookstores and also online. It's called Cooper Not Out by Justin Smith.
It's a fiction and it's a rewriting of history about the 1984 Boxing Day test. In 1984, people will remember that we were getting absolutely flogged by the West Indies. Flogged beyond belief. Kim Hughes was retiring in tears and it was just all a mess. And so I've rewritten the history a little bit where an old fat copper, a sergeant from country Victoria, gets the job of batting for Australia. And it's been, look, you mentioned the reviews. The reviews have just been lovely. What people have been saying about it have been great. I've really been enjoying that.
You must be proud. I can see here for the Herald Sun, Daily Telegraph, 5 stars, this book will fill your heart. So that's nice, I'm sure, to read that because it's, your heart and soul's been poured into that book. And you can get it on Audible, can you? Nice.
Yeah, it's great. The talking book. Gotta do that. Goes back a few years. The audio book.
Yeah.
The audio book has been narrated by the wonderful Matt Day, the actor from Muriel's Wedding. People will know him from Muriel's Wedding. And he was the narrator for the book, and he does just a great job with it. He's just so good.
Yeah, he's very experienced. He's the guy that the young fellow, all those years ago, he was wanted to date Muriel. He was at the video store. I saw it recently.
That's
actually
the Justin. One.
Yeah, that's
it. That's
him.
The one.
Very
well
known Aussie actor. Yeah, Matt Day. Oh, how did you secure that? Is that somebody else's job to get the narrator?
Oh, yes, I have my people work on that. No, that's Penguin is my publisher, and they made all that happen. They're wonderful. So.
Right. Good. All right,
writing a new book for him right now.
You're a busy man. I know we met in radio and you as a presenter and producer and now all your bits on the TV and you're writing books. So, all power to you, Justin. Good on you, mate. That's Cooper Not Out. That's the book. And we'll chat to you again on the night shift and we thank you for your time.
Thanks, Pat. Look forward to it, mate.